A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to Forever 35. This is Dory.
And hi, this is Dory's co-host, Kate.
Oh, hi, Dory's co-host, Kate.
Hello, greetings.
You know, we're on a little break right now.
We are. We're vacationing-ish for the holiday season.
I would say staycationing.
Workationing.
Workationing, exactly. And we're rerunning some old episodes. And the episode that we're rerunning today is with Santina Muha.
Comedian, actress, activist, advocate, all around hilarious Jersey girl.
She's so funny. I feel like we didn't stop laughing when we were recording with her.
No, it was like a nonstop yuck fest. You know, yeah. Like yuck, yuck, yuck.
But yeah, not like yucky.
No, like yuck laughter.
Yeah, exactly.
You know anyway, what we mean.
Here is our episode with Santina. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Forever 35.
A podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves.
Yes. I'm Dory Shafrir.
I'm Kate Spencer.
We're not experts.
But we are.
Two friends
who like to talk about
serums.
That was a new twist on things, Dory.
That was fun.
That was fun. You know, we gotta spice it up.
Just like to keep it interesting.
Dory.
Yes, Kate.
I'm so happy you're back. I know we already said this last week, but I'm happy you're back.
I'm happy to be back. It's great. I missed you. Missed our listeners. You know, I realized in last week's episode, I meant to give a special thank you to all of the guest hosts who so kindly filled in for me.
They were really fantastic.
Nora McInerney, Maureen Goo, Jackie Johnson, Sammy Junio.
I mean, a Sammy, a mini, and a full.
I mean,
and
they
Jackie
are.
They yeah. were, yes. No, they really stepped in. They were wonderful.
Yeah. So thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I had a blast getting to chat with new faces. Well, all familiar faces.
Sure.
But new chats with them.
Yes.
And they were also very excited for you.
Yeah.
It was very sweet.
They're so nice.
They are nice.
How are you doing?
Well, I have just so much going on that is very basic. I've had a cold.
A summer cold.
I had a summer cold. It started exactly a week ago. And because of the summer cold, I haven't been drinking coffee,
mm-hmm.
which I freaking love coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I wake up and like pour it in my mouth. It's
mm-hmm.
just that place. And I even was, when I was in Atlanta recently, I even had coffee at a restaurant and I liked it and I bought it
and
flew it back to California.
Wow.
So I haven't had coffee for a week. And
okay.
I have to tell you, I don't miss it at all. And I'm a little freaked out by that.
Yeah.
Because I love coffee.
Yeah.
But I have been making, I have a cup of warm tea, and then I have been making myself a matcha smoothie.
Ooh.
So when I was visiting Atlanta, I stopped by a juice bar and had a matcha smoothie.
I feel like Atlanta was...
Wow. Did it transform me?
Transformative for you.
I'll tell you what, I met a lovely people. Communities were great. Restaurants were fantastic. It was really a cool city to visit. But I had this matcha smoothie and I was like, what's this? I've never thought about making matcha into a cold thing. Then I Googled a bunch of recipes. And then when I got home, I kind of started improvising. And I have been craving this freaking matcha smoothie every morning.
What do you put in it?
Two TSPs of matcha powder, which okay. I happen to have a lot of. I received some as a gift.
Oh.
And I was into making... matcha green tea for a hot second, and then I haven't in a while because I've been so into coffee. So I put in the matcha powder, a big ass handful of spinach, ooh, like tons of greens, ice, almond milk. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else has been going in there. Aloe vera juice.
Ooh, look at you.
Someone mentioned that they love drinking aloe vera juice. It makes their skin all dewy. So I'm like, all right. So I've been throwing that in there. A lot of ice. Did I say that? What else is going? Oh, a banana, obviously. I've been throwing my collagen powder in there for a little protein.
It's a real catch-all smoothie.
Look, I have just been... It tastes so good. Then a couple drops of stevia and some vanilla extract.
Ooh.
I don't know. This is just kind of... I Googled a bunch of recipes and these are the things that kind of popped out and sounded good.
Okay.
And it's delicious. And like refreshing. It's also hot here, so it really kind of... I'm not normally a morning smoothie person, but... And when I had a very bad sore throat, it was just icing my sore throat. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like a week into this matcha smoothie situation, and I'm just gonna, you know, go with it as long as I go with it, and I'll have coffee again when I want to.
I'm into this for you.
I like it in that I have just noticed a difference in my digestion not having coffee and in how I feel. And that's been very interesting to observe. Because I don't really notice a difference when I eliminate something from my diet. I've never really had that. You stopped drinking coffee when you were pregnant. Have you picked it back up?
No.
Wow.
And I don't have caffeine.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Who am I?
You're Dori Shiffrir 2.0.
It's weird.
And you don't feel, you're not drawn to it in any way. That's like, it's a tough thing to break, caffeine.
Yeah. I mean, that was why once I broke it, because I was so sick, I was like, I'm not going back. It's so hard to take yourself off coffee.
I honestly cannot. I'm shocked that I haven't had it, in terms of like, I get headaches and stuff when I don't have enough caffeine, and that isn't happening to me right now.
But, you know, it's kind of liberating to not have caffeine dependency anymore.
Would you still drink anything decaffeinated, or do you think just that sensory experience would then lead you back down the road to a caffeinated coffee?
I don't even like have the taste for a decaf coffee.
Not even an iced. Didn't you used to drink like a big iced cold brew or something?
I used to drink like so much coffee. I would start the day with a cup of coffee at home, cup of hot coffee at home, like the second I woke up.
Yeah, same.
And then I would have an iced cold brew like an hour later.
And that's like a jolt. Like that's very caffeinated, right?
Yes. And then in the afternoon, I used to have a latte, and I had reduced that to an iced green tea. So, you know, by the time I got pregnant, I wasn't drinking as much coffee as I had formerly been drinking. I mean, I think when I worked at BuzzFeed, I would have the cup of coffee in the morning at home, the iced coffee. When I would get to work, I would have another coffee. Like, it was just like so much coffee. And then, of course, the afternoon coffee. I always had a 3 p.m. cutoff of coffee, or I had trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
But other than that, I was like drinking a lot of coffee. I liked it.
No one is more shocked than me that I have gone a week without coffee.
Yeah.
Because I freaking love it.
That's amazing.
And also, what I'm also trying to do though is not make it a thing. Like not put any labels on the choices I'm making, not me like, well, now I don't drink coffee.
Totally.
You know, it's where I'm at today. Tomorrow I might pick it up again.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I feel like now when it comes up and I say I don't drink coffee, I find I always feel like I need to qualify it by being like, well, you know, it wasn't like I set out to stop drinking coffee. Like, I just stopped because I got really sick my first trimester. Like, I don't want you to think I'm like one of those people who was like, I'm going to stop drinking coffee, as though like, who cares?
And also, yeah, good for those people.
Exactly.
I know.
But like, in my mind, I think my like self perception is that I'm not like a person who would quit drinking coffee.
I get it.
But I did. And like, who cares?
But also, you can, like, it feels good. Like, you've noticed a change in which you feel better.
Yes. And I do think my digestion is better.
Isn't that crazy?
I have some good poops.
Yes. And I always thought coffee was the thing that was making me poop. Like, you know how it's a
diuretic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But not having it in the morning, it's a better pooping situation.
It's
instantaneous.
Better poop.
It's been shocking.
More solid poop.
Yes, Dory. Mm-hmm. Listeners, do you want to know the details of our poops? Probably not.
We've talked about it before.
We have. But it's also just
they know,
like,
what to expect.
That's right. If you're new to this podcast and this is your first episode, we welcome you with open arms.
And open poops.
And open... Jeez Louise. Anyway, that is what's been going on with me is just this observing the fact that for the first time in many years, I don't need coffee. And it's bonkers.
Yeah. And it saves money.
Yeah. And just, I'm not at 10 a.m. all of a sudden being like, oh, I'm so dehydrated because all I've had is coffee for four hours since 6 a.m.
Well, one more thing about coffee and then we can move on.
This is the coffee episode. Yeah.
But I remember, like, traveling was always annoying when it came to coffee because I needed it when I woke up.
Yes.
And so, like, if there wasn't a coffee maker in a hotel room, I then had to go, like, seek out coffee, not know where it was. Like, it just was like a whole thing. And if I didn't get it, I would be cranky
and have a headache.
Yeah. And, like, yeah. So, I don't know. It's interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has anyone quit coffee and never turned back besides Dory? Let us know.
Let us
know. Or if you do drink coffee and you feel like it benefits you, let us know that.
Yeah.
Dory, what's up in your life?
Well, I was thinking about breastfeeding.
Your boobs are a big part of your life right now.
They are also big. They are literally big.
They're full of something.
They are full of stuff. Oops. Yeah, I mean, before I had Henry, I was like, I think I want to breastfeed. And so I kind of set myself up to do that. But I also was like, I just assumed we would be supplementing with formula. And we registered for the baby Brezza, which is basically like a Keurig for formula.
I've seen it at a friend's house and now at your house, and it's very magical.
It's very magical. You like tell it how much formula you want and you press a button and it makes a bottle for you, a nice warm bottle.
I would drink it. Sounds
right. So I never kind of had this feeling of like, I must breastfeed at all costs. But the idea of it did appeal to me for a few reasons. Like, one, I just think it's cool.
Yeah.
That, like, your body can produce food for another human.
It is crazy.
Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
And also, like, I just, like, liked the idea of kind of bonding with him in this way. Like, it seemed nice and, like, unique and, you know, whatever. I was curious about that.
It's affordable too. Breast milk can be free.
Here's the thing.
Oh, here we go.
I've been thinking a lot about this.
I am very excited to hear where this is going to go.
And I think I actually might write something about this because I have spent way more on breastfeeding than I have on formula. Even with the baby Brezza. Between the pumps, the pump accessories, the things to get rid of the clogs in my boobs, to make them not engorged, the supplements to produce more milk, the breastfeeding pillow, it just goes on and on and on. And I think because I produce milk, but I don't produce a ton of milk. And my boobs were getting engorged like pretty regularly. I just kept looking for stuff that was going to help. So I bought, like, for example, I bought these lactation massagers that are like these little things that vibrate and they are heated that you can put on your boobs as you pump. And they're supposed to help, like, declog them and help you produce more milk. Those cost $80.
I've never even heard of these things.
They're new.
Things have changed.
There's all sorts of boob technology now.
Well, you make an interesting point because
nursing bras.
Yes.
Like, sorry, go
no,
on.
No, no, I just think it is interesting, the consumerism geared towards new mothers of certain means, and also mixed with this weird perpetuated feeling of inadequacy if you don't make the choice to breastfeed. Like, there's just like layers and layers and layers of shit. That can be a lot.
Yeah. Or like, you know, there are now these new pumps that you can put in your bra and like they are, it's kind of self-contained. They're really expensive and like my insurance didn't cover them. But I was like, do I need one of those? Should I get one? I mean, they're like hundreds of dollars. And then today I was talking like, no, I'm not, I don't need this. Like, it's fine. But I did buy, again, for $80, a thing that I could attach to my current pump that are those kind of cups. So you can like theoretically do more stuff while you pump. But just like all that stuff, you're just always like, oh, maybe this is going to be the thing.
Right, right.
You know,
which is a path I feel like we are set upon as women often. This will be the thing, dot dot dot, whatever it is. That can apply to so many areas of our lives.
Totally.
In reality, what we really need is already within us, Dory.
Oh, wow.
Well, I solved the world.
Thank you, Kate.
Figured it out.
Yeah, so, you know, right now I'm continuing to, I breastfeed him twice, usually about twice a day. I pump 4 to 5 times a day. And then we also feed him formula because he's a hungry boy and I cannot make enough milk for him. And when he breastfeeds, he doesn't get enough. He's still hungry after he breastfeeds. He's like, more, more, more.
Just like me.
So that's been on my mind.
I bet. That's really interesting. I can't wait to read this piece you're going to write about
Let's see if I actually write it. Well, but
you're still have a newborn baby here. So,
yeah, I guess the thing that made me think about this is that even when people are like, breastfeeding isn't free, like women's time is, you know, valuable, blah, blah, blah. And yes, that is true. And then I was like, but I have also spent actual money, like a lot of it, to try to make this happen. And it's like sort of happening.
Yeah.
And I know that at any point I could just be like, I'm done. But I think it's like partly I'm stubborn. I'm a Taurus.
You've got those.
In case you didn't know.
You're a bull with two horns.
So that's part of it. And then part of it is like, again, the things that like made me want to breastfeed. I do like that part of breastfeeding. I also like that when you give a kid a bottle, your partner can. Yeah. If you have a partner, your partner can feed the baby. Someone else can feed the baby, which is and then they can bond with the baby, which is really nice.
Totally.
And also, like, I feel like I also bond with the baby when I bottle feed him.
Yeah.
Like, we get all cozy, you know?
There are lots of ways to bond.
Totally. I don't want to imply that, like, breastfeeding is the only way to bond with your baby.
No, I know you're not.
Anyway, so yeah.
Your boobs are on your mind.
My boobs are on my mind. I think about them a lot.
They're tender, too, when you have
them. They are so tender.
It's a weird feeling to have all that like just so many nerve sensations in your boobs.
Yes, and I know that like when they start kind of tingling that I only have like an hour max before I need to like...
Before they explode.
Yeah, before I need to empty them. Like a cow.
Oh God, our bodies are freaking weird.
Our bodies are.
I mean, they're also amazing.
They are.
The stuff our bodies can do.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I mean, I was never able to do a back handspring, but
I still can't. I can't even like bend backwards.
Oh,
but
totally.
You know, we can do other things.
Yeah.
Dory, can I tell you real quick before we take a break? I returned stuff to Sephora for the first time.
How did it go?
It was totally not a big deal. They were real. I like marched in and I was like, oh God, I'm nervous. I tried this stuff and I didn't like it, but I've tried it. And they were just like, cool. They were so nice. It couldn't have been easier Or like, and I think I also had guilt because I don't like the idea of like a product going to waste.
Yes, I hear that.
So I was feeling, you know, I thought about maybe trying to sell it to somebody
else. Can I ask what you returned?
Yes, you can. So I bought a bunch of stuff in the Sephora sale.
Yes.
And the two things I returned was an herbivore CBD oil.
Oh, okay.
Face oil. I had gotten that because a lot of people have been writing and asking us about CBD products. Mm-hmm. So that is on our list of things we're exploring. But we're not, again, CBD experts. But I was like, why don't I try a CBD product and see? And I think it's supposed to help with inflammation and redness. And that's not an issue. And the oil didn't really sink into my skin.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, bye. And then I bought an Amore Pacific essence.
Okay.
I had mentioned on the podcast before when we recorded about the Sephora sale that I wanted to try the SK2 essence.
Yes.
And then when I was kind of like in the shopping mode, I went deep over into this other essence and the reviews, and every review was like, this is the game changer. And of course I was swayed, and I was swayed by the discount. So I bought it. It's expensive.
Amore Pacific is expensive.
Yes, it was. And I was like, in my brain, I justified it in two ways, which was the sale. And also anything I put on my face, I could consider like, it's for the podcast.
Totally.
Dot, dot, dot. And I'll tell you, it didn't do anything for me.
Okay.
And I was kind of like, you know what? I'm not going to sit here. I'm not in a space where I can just sit here with this expensive essence if I'm not using it or liking it. So I brought it back. Now, I will tell you, I did get these Kula Silk Sun Drops.
Ooh.
Sunscreen for my face and a Jasmine Body Oil from Herbivore. Loving both those products.
Those sound nice.
They are both,
you know,
lush.
I love a jasmine.
I know you do. Mm-hmm. It did make me think I could maybe one day make my own Jasmine Body Oil.
Ooh.
So after I finish this,
I would buy it from you.
That actually could be a fun project.
Yeah.
I think I'll just give you it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that was...
But I want to support female entrepreneurs.
Support my new business, yeah. Making oils.
You're starting an MLM.
I forgot to tell everybody. I'm in the oil business now. Come join my business. I was like, I bet I could make this in a much affordable situation. But it's very nice, and it's feels great on the skin. So that's been my Sephora adventure lately.
I skipped the Sephora sale because it started like a couple days after I got out of the hospital, and I was in no frame of mind.
You weren't sitting at home thinking about what to buy in the Sephora sale right after you had a baby.
It's weird. I wasn't. <You were. laughs> All right, we're gonna take a short break.
In the break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated
to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Nice. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Our guest today is Santina Muha. Santina.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm going to read your bio and then we will get started. Santina is a regular performer at the Upright Citizens Brigade here in Los Angeles. And while there, she has written and performed a sold out one woman show, been on a House Herald team, performed stand up on the UCB show, and was a recurring monologist for their main stage show, ASCAT. She is a recipient of the Christopher Reeve Acting Scholarship and the UCB Diversity Scholarship, and her BuzzFeed series, Ask a Woman in a Wheelchair, has received over 10 million, that's a huge amount, hits and following. 10 million hits and counting. You might know Santina from her role as Beth on the Netflix comedy One Day at a Time, or you could have seen her dancing in the park with Joaquin Phoenix in the Gus Van Sant film Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot. And there's a chance you may have also seen her shopping at Marshall's because she loves Marshall's.
That's right.
Santina, we're so glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm so proud.
That was good.
That was great.
That was great. And
you're an impressive person.
I mean, when you put it all together like that, it feels good.
Let me tell you, it can be really nice to condense your life's accomplishments into one paragraph and then have someone else read it to you. But what's interesting is that this does not mention that before you were doing all this, not that long ago, you were an entertainment journalist. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Just what you were doing when I first met you, I think.
Mm-hmm. I wrote for Hello Giggles. I mean, I started with Tiger Beat and Bop. I know, right?
Classic.
Iconic.
I know.
Teen magazines.
I know. I would go to events. I was their East Coast correspondent when I lived in New Jersey. So I'd go to like the opening of Dylan's Candy Bar and interview Jesse McCartney, or go to, the Arthur Ashe Kids Day and interview the Jonas Brothers and Little Mama. It was so fun.
How did you get started before doing comedy? How did you get started doing that? Because that's such a specific career that I feel like no one quite knows how to break into.
Well, a friend of mine, Colleen Brumall, she had the East Coast correspondent job, and she got it through internships or whatever. And then Colleen was so great at her job that they ended up hiring her. So she moved to Los Angeles, and then she recommended me as her replacement. And so she said, they're going to call you and do a phone interview.
Were you really into teen celebs? Like, why did
she? Yes. So she recommended me because I had met at a party through friends, and we spent the whole party talking. I mean, we were friends by the end of that party. And then our mutual friends were like, duh, we knew this was going to happen because we both were so passionate about just celebrities. And we also, what she liked about Tiger Beat, which I always thought was cool, was that she liked working for a publication that was kind, mm-hmm. It wasn't like trying to get the dirt on people. And even though behind the scenes you had the dirt and you could talk about it, but it wasn't like we weren't putting any of these kids on blast. So
right.
I thought that was cool. And I was so jealous of the job. So I was really grateful when she recommended me when she moved. And yeah, they interviewed me. And like the next day I was in Manhattan interviewing Jesse McCartney was my first one. And it was so cool. And then I got to, yeah, I got to go to the MTV Awards. And it was, I mean, yeah, definitely a job that I was excited to have. I mean, luckily I was older, so I wasn't fangirling. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to have this job right. when I was 16.
Sure.
There's no way I could have interviewed Justin Timberlake. No way at that time. But now, you know, then I was an adult, but still I'd have moments. Like I remember one time I was at a Z100 Jingle Ball event or something.
Classic.
Yes. And I was backstage, you know, in the press room, and it was Brooke Hogan was performing.
Oh my goodness.
And, you know, cool to meet Brooke Hogan, but then her dad walked in. Hulk Hogan, and for some reason, I started crying. I don't know why. I think because he's such a figure. It was like if Bart Simpson walked in the room or something. It didn't feel real, you know?
It's like your childhood walks into it.
Yes, exactly. And, yeah, and so, like, cool things like that. Like, Bon Jovi wasn't performing, but his kids, you know, were fans, so they were there, and Bon Jovi was backstage. Stuff like that would be cool.
And you're a Jersey girl, so.
And I'm a Jersey, yeah.
I feel like Bon Jovi or Springsteen.
Yes, and I've definitely hung out with both of them.
Oh,
at the Shore.
I thought you were going to say I've seen both of them.
No.
In concert. No, you've hung out with both of them at the Shore?
At bars. Yeah, it's true. The legends are true.
They go to just bars at the Shore?
If you hang out long enough at a bar in Monmouth County, you will see Bruce Springsteen. I mean, maybe they're, I don't know how, they're older now. No, I think, I don't know what they're up to these days. But back then, 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
So then how did you make the leap from doing this job that you really liked to pursuing a career in comedy? Because you didn't just change careers, you've changed cities. I mean, you moved to LA. Mm-hmm. So what was that decision like for you?
Well, I always wanted to be an actress first and foremost. And then doing these interviews was cool, but it was like, can somebody start asking me questions now? I want to be interviewed, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to be the one who people are waiting for, not the one who's waiting for the people, you know? So, yeah, so I just said, well, New York was really inaccessible. You know, there wasn't as much TV and stuff going on there. And I figured I always wanted to live in LA since the first episode of Beverly Hills 90210. Mm-hmm. I was like, where is that? What is that? And my mom was like, that's California. And I'm like, can I live there? She said, yeah, if you want someday. So I did. You know, it was always a goal of mine. I always felt like a Jersey girl / California girl, even before I ever lived here. And that's what I am. I mean, my Jersey friends are like, oh, you're so LA. And my California friends are like, you are so Jersey. So I live there in the middle. And yeah, I just did it.
And what has it been like to carve out a career as an actor? I mean, like to come here in less than five years ago and to then be appearing in a Gus Van Sant film, that's a pretty big transition, right? Like how did you make that happen for yourself? Besides, I'm assuming lots of hard work.
Yeah. Well, so I got started. I mean, I moved here officially on a Friday and started UCB classes on Monday.
And UCB is an improv and comedy theater here in LA and New York. We
yeah.
should clarify.
Yes, I know. We forget. I live in the UCB bubble sometimes. I'm like, you've heard of it. It's famous. And some people have and some people haven't. That's just the reality. But so I started there and yeah, it's a great place to be. I started making friends who were interested in comedy. I mean, I've always, like I said, I've been in school plays all my life, summer programs, theater programs, things like that. So I've always been pursuing it, but it wasn't until I moved here that was all I was doing. And, you know, just from really throwing myself into this UCB world and getting on a team, luckily that happened for me pretty early. I don't know. It's just it's a place where people go to look for talent. Like Gus Van Sant cast a lot of that movie from UCB because even though it's a serious topic, he wanted it to have some levity, and so he wanted to cast comedians, even though it wasn't necessarily comedic roles, just so they would have that. So I think that was cool. So you know, when Gus Van Sant comes to the comedy theater and says, "Hey, do you guys know of a aggressively cheerful brunette in a wheelchair," it's like, yeah, we got one of those.
Oh, you know? Just you wait. Yeah.
So, you know, it worked out. That worked out. And One Day at a Time, same thing. They were looking to, you know, cast someone who used a wheelchair just to expand their diversity. That's important to them on that show. And a friend of mine who knew the showrunner, Lindsay Kraft, she suggested me. And the showrunners had seen me at UCB and said, oh, yes, I know her. She's funny. Okay, great. Cast her. And that was it. I didn't even have to audition. So, So doing UCB really helped me because it just opened some doors and connected some dots for me. And then I was able to get an agent after that. I booked so many things through UCB and on my own before I got a theatrical agent. Because getting an agent out here is like getting a credit card where it's like you need credit to get one, but you can't get credit until you have one. So you kind of, you have to figure it out like your own way. So that's how I did it.
Can we circle back to the mention of Beverly Hills 90210?
Yeah, we have to.
Because I would love to hear your perspective on the show, which I know is one of your favorites, as self-care, because you're a huge fan of 90210.
Yes.
What is the role that it's played in your life since childhood to now?
It's a staple of my childhood, right? I always bring it up. If you know me, you know I love that show because it's probably going to come up in conversation. Just either me saying like, oh, yeah, that's like when Brenda and, went to drama school and had everyone thought she slept with the teacher or whatever. Like I reference the show all the time. I don't know. It was just this is kind of silly, but growing up, I didn't see a lot of people in wheelchairs on television. And there was this one thing in the cold open where they would just or is that even what it's called? The thing where they would show, in the establishing shots when they would just show the college campus. It's not even the show didn't even start yet. They're just showing the campus, getting you ready. And there was a girl in a wheelchair. She had she had short blonde hair and gloves on, those little like pushing gloves. And she just kind of zooms across the stage or across the set, the screen. And I thought, oh, my God, I could go to college in California. Wow. From seeing that. So that to me was really cool. And then that show actually had two different characters with plots. Actually, the one character, the plot, the whole episode revolved around the fact that he was in a wheelchair. It was Brandon and Brenda's cousin. And he came into town and they brought him to a party and everyone had to help him and he got embarrassed. And I related to that. And then there was another plot line with this sort of Kelly's psych teacher who ended up being sort of a cult leader. And they never, ever mentioned the fact that he was in a wheelchair, which I thought was really cool because time I had seen it on TV, it was, is Zach going to date this girl after he finds out she's in a wheelchair and Saved by the Bell? Is Doogie Howser going to date this girl he met in the pool after he realizes she's in a wheelchair? It was always like the very special episode and my mom would always record them for me because it was not something I would see. So I thought 90210 did a really cool job with it, and whether I realized that or not, I appreciated it at the time.
And then you had a very special encounter with Luke Perry.
Yeah, well, I know. He was my number one crush of all time. Forever and ever. Even, I remain loyal to him. He remained my number one through the Jonathan Taylor Thomas days and through the, Justin Timberlake days. I mean, he was number one for me. And I always wanted to meet him. And I remember he was doing an autograph signing at the Freehold Mall in New Jersey. And my mom didn't take me because she just thought it would be mobbed. Because, remember back in the day, they were like the Beatles. And, I guess she was right. But I held a grudge for a long time. And then I moved to L.A. thinking, well, great, now I'm going to meet him, right? It's Luke Perry.
Yeah, driving around.
He lives here. When you move to L.A., if you don't live here, it's like you move into your TV set. I mean, it is. It's like you still go to Target, but Jessica Alba's there or whatever. It's like the coolest thing. So I thought, well, inevitably I'm going to run into Luke Perry, if there is a God. And so 3 years ago, I was in the hospital for something for 3 months, this like freak thing that had me in a recovery period of 7 weeks being bedbound 24/7. So I didn't get out of bed for 7 weeks. It was intense. And a friend of mine who is an actress, Deanna Russo, she saw her manager and his manager shared an office or something. So she knew how to get in touch with him. And so without even telling me, she emailed his manager and said, listen, I have a friend who's in the hospital. She loves Luke Perry more than anyone. If he could maybe write her a letter or call her, she would freak out. Here's all her info. And he decided to surprise me by coming to visit. And I had no idea any of this was happening. And the next thing you know, your visitor Luke is here. And I'm like, Luke?
Oh, my God.
Luke Perry? That's the first thing I think of, because I'm telling you, I loved him. You mentioned, and Brenda, I'm thinking of Brenda from 902. And I mean, you know, it's the first thing that comes to mind. So, in fact, I know someone named Brenda Kelly, and I'm just like, you are so lucky. I can't believe that's your
dream
name. How did you do that? But anyway, so yeah, and there he was. There he walked through my door, and I was stunned. And he hugged me, and I cried in his arms, and then I cried harder because I realized I was crying in Luke Perry's arms. And he said, I always tell this story, but I think it's so cool. He goes, it's okay. It's just you and me. It's just you and me. I mean, he's like, he's very Dylan.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Right? And then he sat with me for an hour, and we just hung out. And in the first few minutes, it was like, oh my God, it's Dylan McKay, you know. But then by the end, it was like, great. Now I know Luke Perry. And actually, he called me later that day to tell me, you know, I've just been thinking about how great that was. I'm so glad I did that. You're so cool. Like, and I really feel like connected. He said, I said, yeah. I go, I'm so glad I didn't meet you in the mall now. And he goes, no, that's not how we were supposed to meet. How we were supposed to meet, because now we know each other. And I mean, you know, we didn't hang out any really time after that. But, you know, friends would tell me they ran into him and they'd say, oh, I know Santina. And he'd be like, oh, I love Santina. So it's like, I did it. Because I've met, you know, Shannon Doherty, and I've met all four of the staple women, but most of them I've met at book signings and things. So it's cool, but it's like I went to them. Luke Perry came to me. I mean, he had to sign the guest book. There was his name in the hospital visiting guest book. I mean, it was the cool. He drove to me. He woke up that morning like, I'm going to visit Santina. He knew that he was coming to me before I knew. I mean, it's amazing. And so when he passed, you know, I've told this story so many times. So I got to the one thing, you know, I mean, God, how such a it sucks that he died. He was too young. And we all know. But I was when he visited me, he was talking about how he doesn't want to just be known as an actor or like a heartthrob. That wasn't really his thing. I mean, he had no press with him. You know, sometimes celebrities visit people in hospitals and it's like, you know, it's in the news or something. He wasn't interested in that. He just wanted to do good things for people. He really wanted to. And then, I mean, have you guys seen a bigger outpouring of, you know, good of people sharing good deeds?
It was amazing.
Like, since Princess Diana, I feel like I haven't seen.
It was amazing.
And who would have guessed Luke Perry would be this? But I mean,
you would have guessed.
I knew it the whole time. But yeah, I mean, he brought balloons on airplanes for crying kids. I mean, he went above and beyond. He carried umbrellas around people's heads when it was their birthday. I mean, these stories came out. He was a really good guy. And I'm just so happy to know that he's not only known as, you know, this heartthrob. He really, after he died, people just started to come out of the woodwork and talk about what a great, actual great guy he was. And that's really what he wanted. So I'm happy about that. And I'm sad that I never got to work with him. But my first time ever on Access Hollywood was talking about the time I met Luke Perry. So in a way, did we work together?
Kind of.
I mean, not really. But in a way, we are. If you Google Santina Miua Luke Perry, stuff will come up. And that's pretty cool.
That is really cool. And but, it's very cool that your encounter with him it represents so deeply who he was.
I know.
Like, that's really incredible. Yeah. And I know everybody said this to you, but the second I heard he passed away, you were the first person I thought of.
Oh, my God.
I know literally everybody I know who knows you has said that to
from
you.
From elementary school teachers to ex-boyfriends I haven't heard from in years.
They all checked in.
Everybody checked in. To celebrities I met other times, DMing me on Instagram. I mean, really, people know me as this Luke Perry girl.
I want to circle back to what you were talking about when you're watching the opening, that establishing shot on 90210, and you see this woman in college like go by in the wheelchair. How does that feel now to be that person to somebody watching One Day at a Time? Like, I mean, do you reflect on that? What does that feel like? Have people talked to you about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Or even on stage at UCB, people will say to me, I saw you in a show and now I'm going to take classes there. I didn't know I could do, you know, improv or whatever. And UCB, every single stage at UCB is accessible now. And I contributed to that. You know, I helped to make that happen. I'm very proud of that. I think there's still so much work that needs to be done because, I mean, there's still very little representation of people with disabilities on TV and even less female and then even less people who have disabilities actually playing those roles.
Yeah. Right.
So it's problematic, but I'm so excited and proud to be a part of this. I always knew I would be. You know, it's like, you know, there's some people who just like quietly know their mission and just move towards it lives. Oprah, yes. Ellen, you know, Luke Perry, to be honest. David Bowie. These are people I feel like that I should be in the same category
Let's
as.
Let's just say it. You are at their level. Yeah.
But I mean, no, really, it's like I just know that this is something I'm supposed to be doing. I used to work for the National Spinal Cord Injury Association, which was really cool. But I hit a wall there. I felt like this is great, but it's not the way I'm supposed to make these changes. Mm. I need to be doing them, you know, I'm an actress, I'm a writer, I'm creative. That's the way. And our society is just dictated by pop culture and media, right? They just are. Oh, we all, sushi, we like sushi now. Okay, now we're all eating sushi. I mean, right? I mean, think about the boom in the 90s when homosexuality became more normalized on television with Ellen and Queer Eye and Will and Grace. And finally, it started to become kind of normalized. And honestly, there's still work to be done there.
Of course.
But it's better. It's better now than it was. I mean, do you ever watch movies from the early 90s?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Or from the 80s?
Oh, my God.
It's awful.
It's
crazy. And hopefully in 20 years, people will look back at the movies from now and say you know, and point out what we're doing wrong.
I know. Exactly. So I'm trying to help normalize it and not have it be the very special episodes that I grew up watching because that always felt weird to me.
Yeah.
You know, like it shouldn't be on the news when a girl in a wheelchair gets asked to the prom.
Fuck no.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it makes it, imagine being a girl in a wheelchair. And then feeling like you're a pity party all the time, or you're a hero. And it's like, no, you know, sometimes I was just a bitch, or sometimes I was just, you know, the girl you called for advice. I mean, I wasn't always, I was a friend, I was a sister, I was a daughter, I was a niece. I wasn't always, you know, the main plot of someone's story, and that's too much pressure. So I really want to help to normalize it. That's what I'm doing. So I'm excited when I get roles where, you know, like in Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot. I mean, that was a movie about a man who became paralyzed, and he meets my character in the rehab, and they needed a girl in a wheelchair, and that's fine too. But then I'm excited in, you know, this other movie I'm in where that's going to be coming out. It's a mockumentary called Izzy Lion. And my character isn't even in a wheelchair. It's shot in ways that you don't ever see it.
Oh, wow.
The character isn't in one, even though I'm in one. So that's really cool, too. And then, you know, there's a show that was on IFC called Comedy Bang Bang. And the first time I was ever on that show, again, thanks to UCB, it was revolving around a joke, you know, that the character needed to be in a wheelchair for the joke. Great, happy to do it. But then a few years later, they called me back in to play a recurring role as Santina the PA, which had nothing to do with me being in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. I had a rivalry with Weird Al, and it was very funny and stupid and nothing to do with it. And that's really cool too. And I'm just so happy that when I go into an audition and I sign in on the sign-in sheet and it's me and you know, Lauren Lapkus or Lennon Parham and these comedic women that I grew up, Lauren Lapkus is my age, but that I, you know, that I've been admiring. It's so cool to be in the same room with them and not just, because sometimes I'll go out for a role that's disability related and sometimes it will happen that I go in the room and it's like an older man, a 12-year-old girl. And the only thing is we're all in wheelchairs and I'm like, what the hell is this?
Right. Yeah.
What are you doing? Just put a jack-o'-lantern in a wheelchair then and push it across the screen. What is this? You know? So I'm glad that we're starting to get there. And I'm happy to be part of that. So happy.
Holy shit, that visual of a jack-o'-lantern. Someone just
rolling around.
Across.
Yeah.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You mentioned that you are on your way to get a facial today.
Yeah.
And I want to talk a little bit about your skincare and self-care rituals and practices.
Okay.
Because you said you were just like, yeah, when it rains, I go get a facial.
Uh-huh.
And I love
that rule.
Yeah, I know. One, if we lived in Seattle, we would just be
glowing
and broke. But what is, like, what are your practices for self-care in addition to a rainy day facial? How do you care for yourself and nurture yourself, especially when you're so busy?
Well, I love engaging all of my senses and sort of that's something why I say when it rains, I want a facial, because I love moments where you can sort of, like, I'm pretty famous in my friend circle for I love a good high shower, with meaning I smoke a little pot beforehand. I can say that on this podcast,
you
right?
Can, yes.
Great.
We live in California.
It's perfectly legal. And then I have twinkle lights in my bathroom. I have a playlist that is ready to go. I light a candle or I drop some lavender in there. And then I have tea when I get out. I drink some tea. So I'm hitting all my senses. And I really feel like that's like maybe a secret that people don't know about, because it really like aligns you in a way that your whole body just appreciates that you're listening to all of it.
So you've got music going, yeah. You've got the visual of the lights, mm-hmm. You've got the warmth of the shower, mm-hmm. the scent, mm-hmm. the lavender, and then you get out and have a cup of tea. You've like set up a spa at your house.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. And it's just an apartment. I mean.
Right. And how often do you do that? Is that like a weekly thing for you, once in a while?
Yeah, I try to do it like, I try to make one of my nightly showers a real good one.
One of your nightly showers?
Well, I mean like.
One a week.
Oh, I see.
I don't take. Are you kidding me? No way.
I, like, so often we, Doreen and I talk about how like we haven't showered in 7 days. I would love it if you were like a 5 shower a day type of person.
Nightmare. No. I just when I came in, you said you liked my hat and I said thanks, I'm wearing it because I didn't feel like washing my hair today or yesterday.
Or the day before. Or the day
I haven't before. Washed my hair since Saturday.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So
is that a new thing that Colt is happening? Or
are you asking me?
I'm just generally proposing it to the crowd here. Have you always been a not hair washer?
Yeah, I never washed my hair every day. No, I didn't have to. It's also, you have to train it that way. Some people are like, I can't. I have to wash it every day. And it's like, well, yeah, because you do wash it every day.
This is where I was my whole life.
Yeah, and then
it's
you took
only
a step
in the
back.
Last year that I've been able to not be washing my hair every day. Now I wash it twice a week. And honestly, I think I'm losing so much less hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And remember, I was in the hospital because I was in a car accident. So I was in the hospital for like a year. You're not washing your hair that often when you're in the hospital. You're just not.
Yeah.
And so that was when I was young. So that kind of, I don't know, maybe that's where I got started. I don't know. But I've trained my hair, you know, to stay pretty clean.
Oh, it looks very nice from over here where we're sitting.
Thank you. This is a blowout that is lasting. But after I get my facial, that's why I didn't wash it this morning.
Oh, yes.
Because last night I was in the mood to, I had one of those great showers last night, and I really wanted to wash my hair, but I said no because I want to get a facial tomorrow, and then I do the whole I love a good scalp massage, and they put like oil in there, and so if I washed my hair last night, I would have also had to wash it tonight, and you don't want to mess up that training schedule.
No, are you in a shower cap?
No, I just threw it up in a clip.
Okay, okay.
It's okay if it gets sprayed.
It's not a matter of getting it a little damp. It's just the full like washing and redrying and styling.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Marshalls, because that is in your bio. And I do think not only like the experience of shopping is very self-soothing, but like specifically sometimes these certain stores are a comfort.
Yes.
So I'd love to dig into why Marshalls. Tell us about what it is that you love so much.
It is a comfort. Growing up, those were the stores I went to with my mom and my nonna, you know, my grandmother. And I love Marshalls because I say, one time I called Marshalls like a rich lady's garage sale. You know, that's, it's like, it's like you
can, totally.
Right? It's like you feel like you have to kind of dig a little bit. But I like that. I like that it's not uniform. I love, it's so exciting when you find something. Marshalls is the kind of thing where I either leave with zero things or $300 worth of things, right? I love that there's sections, you know, there's the clothes and then there's like the home goods and then there's like the, you know, foods and spices section. And then there's, you know, shoes and it's pajamas, please. It's
a candle.
Candles. Oh my God. It is truly some days my friend Dana, where I will text the other one and just be like, do you want to go to Marshall's today? I mean, it's Disneyland for me. It's my Disneyland.
Santina, we didn't touch upon this yet, but I know that you do wheelchair consulting for TV shows. Is that right?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about what that, like what maybe, I don't know what shows you've consulted on, but how that works, what kind of changes you suggest are implemented in the shows that you consult on?
Yeah. So, you know, especially for shows where they have a character who uses a wheelchair, but the person doesn't use a wheelchair, I recommend hiring me or, you know, a consultant, because you should be employing someone who uses a wheelchair if you are, honestly, the actor should be, if the character is, but we'll get there. But if that's not possible for some reason, or if it's too late, then it's, I recommend having a consultant on board just to say things like, that's not really realistic, or that, you know, that's not, that not something I would do, or that's not really a problem for people in wheelchairs, or, you know. So I've been able to answer some questions about, here's a scene, we want this character to kiss the character in the wheelchair, you know, how if you wanted to initiate a kiss with someone and they're standing, how would you do that? Things like that. These are like the types of questions that I've been able to answer. It's fun. I like it.
And you just like go into the writer's room and...
Or over the phone, or, or I've been, you know, on set and, you know, it's cool. I like it. But again, I can't wait until they can just ask the actor.
So, Santina, where can people see you on stage or on their screens? You have how many movies coming out this year?
Well, I have Greener Grass is a comedy. The Mustang is a drama that I haven't seen yet. So I'm like, should I tell people to watch it? Let me. I need to check my performance first. And then, a mockumentary that's coming out called Izzy Lion, about a sign spinner. And that's it for now, I think, movie-wise. But, you know, I'm always looking to create. This year is a year that I've dedicated to making things that are tangible. I do a lot of improv, which is fun, and I love that as well. But sometimes a year can go by and you're like, that was so fun, and you have nothing to show for it.
What did I do?
What did I do? So I want to make sure I do a little bit more, you know, because writing is cool, but then you got to get all the equipment. It's like, how do you make this? How do I get this out of my computer? So I want to work on that a little bit more. I'm also working on writing a book. But so you can see me now on stage at UCB. Check my Instagram or my Twitter for, you know, when stuff like that is coming out.
What is your Instagram and Twitter?
It's just at Santina Muha, SANTINAMUHA. And or watch those movies, or One Day at a Time is on Netflix. I'm on seasons 2 and 3. I did an episode of Curb Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Cool. Oh my God.
Which, but is, see, as an actress, it's always like, I feel weird talking about a thing that I've done before it comes out because you never know what's going to get cut.
You can get cut.
Never know.
Yes.
So I don't want to sound like a liar, but look, you can't take the experience away from
you
me.
Shot
I
shot an there. Episode of Curb.
Yes, with Larry David. You know, it was, it was so fun. Oh my God. It was awesome. And I did another episode of Adam Ruins Everything that you can see. So there's things coming out if I don't get cut.
You won't get cut. I'll have something to say about it.
Thank you. Well, now they can't because I've just promoted them.
That's right. I do like that. Go on podcasts before the thing comes out
and
promote it so they can't cut you.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Santina, thank you so much for being here.
This was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was a real freaking treat.
Thank you for having me. Thank Love it. You. Love
see
you guys.
See you at Marshall's.
Please.
So Dory, last week you set the intention to leave the house once a day and actually go somewhere.
I did.
Have you been doing it?
I have been. Yeah, I have been. I mean, some days it's tough.
Yeah.
But I have been. And what I've also been trying to do is making more plans. Like, for example, I met a friend yesterday and I think a couple weeks ago, I would have been like, let's just be in touch in the morning and figure it out. And instead I was like, let's meet at 11, you know, and same with like going to yoga today. I wasn't like, I'll see how I feel when I wake up. I was like, I'm going to go to yoga.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think just kind of striking that balance between like, leaving yourself the flexibility to not do the thing, but also like making an effort to do the thing is important.
It's a dance.
It is a dance. But I know that it's good for my mental health to get out and to see people and, you know, et cetera.
And your mental health is important always and especially right now. I can't think of anything better to think about.
Totally. How about you? How did focusing on body positive mantras go?
You know, it's been, I've felt like I kind of vomited a lot of my like rough stuff on last week's episode. And after I got it out, I was like, I feel better.
Oh, good.
And in the past couple of days over on our Instagram stories, I've been sharing people's confidence songs.
Yes.
And they've been making me feel very confident. All you need is Lizzo in your life.
That's true.
I mean, holy moly. Mm-hmm. So just hearing like what people go to when they're trying to muster up confidence and just having that be in the forefront of my brain has been really making me feel great.
Oh, good.
So I have to say sharing on the podcast really helped.
That's amazing.
I know this podcast.
Who knew?
Changes our lives. What is on your intentions agenda for this week?
Well, it's like semi-related to last week's, but more focused on exercise. I after I went to pre and postnatal yoga last week, I was sore.
Yeah.
Which, like, it is a very gentle class.
Sure.
But I really have not been doing anything physical and I feel like it's starting to kind of wear at me mentally. And so I would like to get back into exercising just kind of for my own mental health. And I need to figure out again, like, how do I fit that into my day? I feel like now I really need to plan for it.
Yeah. And what does it look like?
And what does it look like? And so those are all things that I'm thinking about and trying to figure out. And so that is my intention for this week.
That's a good one.
Thank you. How about you?
Dory, I wrote down that this week I'm going to share and celebrate my accomplishments, allow myself to feel pride when I get shit done and do a good job.
Oh, I love that.
Thanks. I celebrating yourself and just being like, hey, I did this thing.
You know, it's like giving yourself positive feedback.
Yes. And like we have accomplishments and so often we're, you know, told not to sell that being.
It's like, what is the adult version of the gold star chart?
Ooh, I mean, people do make gold star charts as adults. Could do that. Give myself a star. I just, you know, I made my word goal that I had set for myself.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal for me because I really struggle with consistent writing practices. And then I just posted it on Instagram and I felt really proud of myself.
That's amazing.
And I appreciated people sharing that they were proud of me also, but just allowing, like, I don't need anybody else to feel proud if I, you know what I mean? Finding that in myself. So I'm going to try to do that a little bit more. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
See what I accomplish
this
week. I look
forward to hearing more about this.
Okay. I'll keep celebrating my things with you.
Great.
Dory.
Yes.
You're back.
I am.
It's the end of another episode with you.
It sure is.
So glad you're back.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
If listeners want to call you specifically, talk to you, our voicemail is 781-591-0390 and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcasts. And the password there is serums.
Shout out to that amazing Facebook group.
And our, amazing mods.
Oh. They're pretty incredible. And if you like the show, please do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and tell a friend. And if you really like us, you know, give us the old shout out on the social media.
And a reminder that everything we mention is always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast, where you can see things like confidence songs.
So many great confidence songs.
Kate's Gratitude Mondays.
I love just getting in those stories.
Yeah, I love it too. And on Twitter, we are at Forever35Pod.
And Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. And Lane Hammer is our assistant. And we thank you for listening.
Bye.